We've all learned about American slavery in history classes, so why do you think some of us could use some additional lessons?
For a whole variety of reasons. The first, American schools don't teach sort of a uniform history of slavery, and depending on where you are in the region, you can get a very different picture of what American slavery looked like, what its origins were, and how it eventually ended. I think our project at Slate is sort of designed for not just people who are interested in the topic and maybe didn't learn about it in high school or in college, but I think it's for people who did take, who have a high school education, who have a college education, but did not get what is sort of not just a consensus or close to consensus position on the origins of slavery and what it looked like and what it felt like and so on and so forth. But also people who aren't sort of aware of the many disputes and the many conversations that are happening among academics about American slavery.
So you mentioned that our understanding of slavery might depend on where we were educated. Do you remember what you learned about slavery when you were growing up?
I actually remember very little about what I learned about slavery growing up. I've actually tried to sit down and like think, what did I learn in high school? And I just cannot recall too much of it. I think I got what you'd call probably the basic story. I'm not so sure we learned about any of the more interesting dynamics, like the development of racial slavery in the 17th century, Virginia, for example, or sort of the attempts by enslaved people to free themselves via the legal system in the 18th century. Those sort of things were kind of never touched on, and I think especially with regards to the end of slavery, there, I grew up in Virginia. It's there that the story, as I recall it, gets sort of very muddled about the causes of the Civil War, about sort of, how the war wasn't quite over slavery, it was over tariffs and so on and so forth. And all of that, I think it is not uncommon for people who go to school in the South. But I know plenty of people who are from the Northeast, who are from out West, and they also have gotten kind of mixed educations about slavery.
So you guys look at slavery in this podcast series through the lives of 9 people who lived it. Why take that approach?
I think because it's very easy to talk about slavery in broad and abstract terms. I mean, I'm kind of even doing it right now. looking at it through the lives of 9 people helps us ground the entire discussion that these aren't... this isn't just an economic system or a social system. This is very much a story of individual people, millions of individual people who were subjected to horrible conditions, horrible practices, whose lives were alienated from their homes, from their labor. And looking at it, the lives of actual people helps you grasp this on, I think, a more concrete and visceral level than what you would get if you were just sort of talking about slavery in kind of the broad 30,000 feet historical sense.
I know you haven't gone through all 9 people, but so far, how are each of these enslaved people's experiences different? What can you learn from one story that you don't think you could learn from another?
I think what you can learn is, or what you can see rather, is how slavery as an institution really changes throughout American history. I think we have a tendency to look at American slavery as, what it looked like in 1830 or in 1840 in the South. But slavery in, say, 1660 or 1670 looked extraordinarily different than it would just 100 years later. And in looking at the lives the people who experienced each period of slavery. So, in this case, Anthony Johnson, in the 17th century, you can really see how much. I mean, frankly, how much things would get worse over time, and how people began to react to the worsening conditions.
Along with the podcast, you're releasing a series of interactive maps and graphics. One in particular that caught our attention shows the scale of the American slave trade across the Atlantic. This had me thinking, so you're exploring the history of American slavery with podcasts, with graphics. How do you think these new tools can help us, you know, think about this history in a new way?
Well, in terms of the podcast, I think it is an easier way to digest a lot of information, and I think it provides a signpost and a guide for people who want to explore more. You know, in each episode, we talk to different historians, different academics, different kinds of people, and for listeners, that isn't just a conversation they can tune into. It's also a chance for them to, for themselves, explore further. And on the website, we provide links to articles, to other research, to the books that we mentioned. So if you want to go read, for example, in an upcoming episode, we speak to Ed Baptist, who wrote a great book called The Half Has Never Been Told. If you wanted to read that, we make it easy for you to find that book and read it. With stuff like the infographics, I think those are useful in that they illustrate the enormity of American slavery. I'm not sure that most people realize just how many individuals were involved as enslaved people, that this wasn't, we're not talking about a couple hundred thousand or even a couple million. We're talking about more than 12 million people who were taken from West Africa and sent across the Atlantic. A couple million of those people died. Millions of others endured terrible suffering. And this is really, in a genuine sense, a world historical event over many centuries. And so I think with the infographic, with other sort of multimedia that we'll be doing, we're trying to illustrate that fact that this isn't just some small moment in world history. It's a major moment, and it deserves to be understood and treated as such.
Right. I think some people, and this might just be a product of our education, but it seems sometimes that people like to think about slavery as kind of a blip in history, something that happened and is done and over with, that maybe it doesn't have a legacy that we can still see today. And I was thinking that if we needed a clear reminder that that is not the case, we got one with the mass shooting in Charleston. So for you, what has it been like looking at this history now that it has become the subject of a much more public discussion?
It's been extremely useful. You know, I'm into the Civil War as a period of historical inquiry, and so I've been able to draw on a lot of that in kind of thinking about and writing about the events around Charleston. And it's, you know, worth saying that the events around Charleston or the history of Charleston is intimately tied to slavery, that you kind of can't really understand the particular dynamics of that church, Emmanuel AME, of its relationship in the Charleston community without also knowing that that church was the site of planning for, an anti-slavery rebellion in the 1820s. I think more broadly than just Charleston and could sort of just thinking about kind of American history and thinking about sort of everything around all kinds of different public dialogues, this project has, in the reading I've done for this project in particular, has given me a much fuller perspective of slavery's role in developing the United States. When you look at the size of slavery as a function of the American economy in 1860, when you look at the extent to which sort of raw materials produced by enslaved people was the engine not just for American capitalism but for global capitalism, it's hard to think that this was kind of, like you said, just a blip. It's hard to look at the picture that way, and that, you know, for me, that is just, that's useful in terms of sort of understanding present day legacies and present day sort of relationships.
So you guys are about halfway through this podcast series. Could you just share one or two things that you guys are going to cover next?
Sure. We are going to cover the westward expansion of slavery. One thing that I don't think people think of in terms of the institutions that had a frontier, and that slavery in South Carolina and the Lowcountry of South Carolina looked very, very different than it did in Western Mississippi. And what we will, in that episode, we'll talk about the slavery frontier, the issues that arise on the frontier of slavery, from more acute fears of slave rebellion to the politics that emerge out of the expansion of slavery, and in a lot of ways kind of define the politics of the United States in the 1830s and 40s. We'll discuss sort of the medical experimentation in slavery, and the extent to which in places, not just in the South, but in New York City, where enslaved people were experimented on as part of sort of medical training, and kind of the ways in which that has influenced modern American medicine. That one's kind of gruesome and sad.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that sounds really disturbing and interesting.
Yeah, but it's very interesting and very illuminating.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.